Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 13, recorded Monday, June 20th, 2011. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR6. And by Audible. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. It's time for another episode of The Social Hour. Today, it's lucky episode 13 from Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I am Amber MacArthur.
Amber, hey, are you a fan of Lucky 13, or are you one of those people who are glad that there's never a 13th floor in a tall building?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad there isn't a 13th floor.
Really?
I don't obsess over it, you know. It's not, I think of it for a second and then I kind of move on. So it's not anything that I'm too superstitious about.
Well, good.
Knock on wood.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
I'm sitting at a wood desk here, so I'm knocking.
It's good. But I can't believe we're at episode 13.
It's amazing
how quickly it climbs and we get up there and... lots to talk about today, of course, as always, Sarah.
It's true. Sometimes we have a guest at the top of the show. I actually tried to get the folks from Turntable or somebody from Turntable.fm, which has been getting a lot of buzz online. A lot of my Twitter friends spend a lot of time DJing with each other. Couldn't get a hold of anybody, so I'll continue to work on that. We had also been pitched about a story that, I don't know about you, Amber, but I wasn't familiar with just through the normal chain of social networking conversation, but it was a crowdsourced project from, how do I explain this? The official, I guess, Michael Jackson fan website had put together a crowdsourced project to make a video from one of Michael Jackson's songs that I believe was released after his death, but is a popular song. And so they had put together a website, which is now down, or I would show you, but because the project's now over, so they've taken down the way that this website was set up. But it allowed folks an easy way to watch the video and record themselves kind of singing and dancing along with it, and then be able to upload that clip to the project. So it was a very easy way to get a bunch of participation from all over the world. The PR team that was handling that project had reached out to us at TWiT and said, do you want to interview the director of this project? Well, the timing didn't work out just perfectly for us, but I still thought it was a really interesting project because the video is now live and they released it exclusively on Facebook at facebook.com/Michael Jackson, which I'm trying to find the video now because it's clear as day when you haven't actually liked the page. I wonder if I unlike it, if it'll go back to the way it was.
I think I've actually found, I found it on YouTube, but I think I found the link initially through the Facebook page that they put out there. But it's kind of an amazing story if you look at it. From what I can tell from an article that I was reading, there was about 1,600 fans who actually contributed to the final video from all over the world. And it just goes to show you how many fans Michael Jackson had and how much people still love him. Kind of interesting too, in this one article from a Seattle newspaper, they're mentioning a really good point, how Michael Jackson always kind of came to the market with these really slick videos. You know, everything was very high end. It kind of interesting to see this video come out where it's very, I don't want to say low end. I mean, obviously it's an amazing concept, but the production quality is, you know, not really great, but again, just a totally different type of feel based on, or compared to what he normally would put out there.
So what I did actually is I went ahead and unliked this page, anybody who's following along on our video feed, and sure enough, it did prompt me then to like the page to unlock the video, which is an interesting tactic because Amber, I've seen this happen with a few pages. Of course, pages are different than profiles on Facebook. They're better for brands and entities.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, there it is. Although once I did like the page, it was very difficult for me to find this video. So I don't know if that's the best organizational use of a Facebook page. But anyway, so here's the video that that debuted on Facebook. And yeah, I'm sure that they, at this point, if not immediately, it's available in as many places as possible. But it's got 1.2 million views, over 6,000 comments. Not sure why the video... Oh, okay. Video's just loading slowly, I guess. Our everything in our studio is currently breaking because we're in the middle of moving over to our new brick house. So we're hanging on by a thread. But the video is, like you said, it's lo-fi, really. But it's neat because I think that people, even if you just see yourself for 2 seconds, it's exciting because you get to participate.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that whole concept of everybody being able to have a little, a little bit of fame on the web, right? So you can see your little part. And what's neat for our listeners out there who obviously can't follow along and watch the video is just how creative and energetic people are getting in their little clips on the video. I mean, it's not just people sitting in front of their webcams and, you know, lip syncing to the songs. I mean, people are getting in character. They're putting on Michael Jackson style clothing and hats, you know, getting in very strange locations and dancing and doing some of his moves. So it's much more visually interesting than you would expect it to be. It's kind of fun. It's too bad that we couldn't get them on the show. Nonetheless, I think, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory and obviously kind of interesting to see a video like this come out because you look at the kind of future of music on the web and what so many artists are doing. You know, you remember OK Go and all their dancing on treadmills and that kind of as you call it, like lower kind of quality content that gets put out there that people just gobble up online.
Yeah, you look at the Michael Jackson's page. I mean, I have to admit, I haven't spent a lot of time in it, although I was a Michael Jackson fan, at least as much as, you know, the average person, and certainly a huge fan when I was younger. 36 million people like this Facebook page. I know that there are a lot of Facebook pages that have a lot of likes, but I mean, that is a great community to draw from when you want to put together a project like this. I mean, this is the sort of project that becomes such a large-scale project and doesn't require that much individual effort. I mean, obviously, you see some of these clips. I mean, some of the clips that they ended up using is just someone in front of a webcam. Other clips are, you know, a whole class of students, you know, with synchronized dance moves. So it's not as if people didn't put a lot of effort into it. But in order to give people the tools so that they can participate without necessarily having to make it some sort of large scale technical effort, it's really cool. And
yeah,
obviously, a lot of people went for it.
Okay, and I guess, you know, more than anything, kind of keeps Michael Jackson in our minds, right? You know, not that I've forgotten him already, but it's just one of those things, you know, just keeps reminding of us what an icon he was and still is out there. So kind of neat. Sarah, I'm really into this next story that you've put on the list about this Facebook app. And to be honest with you, I have been using more Facebook apps over the past couple of months. You just realize what a powerful platform Facebook is. And this one kind of makes Facebook a little bit like LinkedIn as far as the functionality is. This is what it looks like to me, at least.
Yeah, so this is a Facebook app called Branch Out. And let me pull up the... their actual link. Okay, so let's go to... I had the wrong link in our little doc here. Branch Out. What's interesting, there was an article written up on Inside Facebook, which is a cool blog that's very Facebook-centric. We talked about them in the past before. Branch Out initially... So this is a Facebook app that runs within Facebook, so I'll go ahead and log in. And initially, they had a certain amount of people following along, who had installed the app, however many thousand, but they inside Facebook had, I actually really should pull up that article because it'll help explain it so much better what Branch Out started with and what it's actually...
Because it's not necessarily a brand new thing. I mean, I know I just did a quick search for branch out on Google, and there was an article written back, I think, last summer on TechCrunch about branch out and some of the features and functionality. You know, Sarah, I have to tell you something really funny while you look that up.
Okay.
I almost sneezed, and I'm so self-conscious about sneezing on the show now because I didn't realize that there was a website dedicated to people who sneeze on television or on live videos.
What?
And I've been, yeah, it's been documented that I've sneezed a couple of times on this show. And so it freaks me out. And so I really am trying to hold the sneezes in. I know that's a real segue for people who are listening in, but that just shows you how creative people are online. If you're interested, there is a website out there that documents random live sneezes. I've made my way in. I don't know if that's the beginning or end of my career.
Wow. That's
that's awesome. So don't sneeze, Sarah. Hold it in as much as you can.
Well, I don't know what is wrong with me, but I cannot find that initial article. I'm trying to do searches, so we'll just... The problem with BranchOut is that now, as you guys can see, for our video viewers, it's going to take a while to load up all of my career info. The deal with BranchOut, this is what made this story interesting to me, was it started out as an app, and they obviously want to get as many people participating as possible. That was designed to help you discover other people to become friends with on Facebook, and you would use this Facebook app, and that would be the tool. What they initially did, or up until recently, what they were trying to do is use gamification to keep people interested. But it kind of ended up being spammy. For example, there would be a game like something would show up maybe in your news feed, Amber, because you're friends with me, that would say, who's more likely to be late to the next episode of The Social Hour, Amber or Sarah? You know, and then you can easily click on one or the other, and it kind of gets people involved. And the more participation certain questions have, the more you might discover, oh, this person had a comment, or maybe they said something funny about it, that kind of thing. Well, it turned out that their growth had stagnated. I think it was around 20,000 or something. So it's like, yeah, they had users, but it wasn't really catching on with the masses, because it's kind of, there's only so many times you want to see stuff like that in your newsfeed, and then you think, this is a very hypothetical kind of blah game. I don't really want to participate. They had changed their tune recently, so now it's very much more almost like a LinkedIn type of a model, where if you're a member, if you've downloaded BranchOut and it's free, then it would say, if you know Amber Mack, then maybe you know Jeff MacArthur and somebody else, because that's a friend of Amber Mack's, and here's their relationship. So it's a lot more of a, it's like a Facebook feature that Facebook has to some extent. I mean, it suggests friends to me sometimes, but it's a little bit more of a LinkedIn type of a layout. Well, since they changed their tune, so I guess it's considered a pivot, they're close to 1 million users. I mean, within about a week. So
amazing.
It's hard to know how much the word just got spread around, or if people just really like this new layout.
Well, you know what's pretty neat about it? I think what it looks most interesting to me is being able to search through your contacts and find out that there are people in your network who maybe have had jobs in the past at places that you want to work. I was reading one blog post about BranchOut, and it was mentioning that you could go in and say, you know, you always wanted to work at McDonald's. I know that may not be the biggest career aspiration for a lot of people, but I'm just using it as an example. If you wanted to work at McDonald's, you could find out people within your own Facebook network who potentially had worked there, and be able to contact them if you wanted, you know, a reference or the name of someone who was a manager there, whatever that might be. So it becomes kind of an interesting network for job seekers, and actually takes advantage of the employment history from multiple people within your own network on Facebook. So I think that's a really compelling part of BranchOut.
Finally found that original article. So this is like the old way. Would Kim Mai, that's the author of this article, be the captain of the company softball team? Yes, maybe, or no. Those sorts of games, they can get old. A lot of people start to go, well, you know, this is, why am I really participating in this? Doesn't really mean anything. So this is now what their new homepage looks more like. So it's expand your network, invite friends and colleagues, Susan Sue, Amanda Glasser. So it takes that silliness out of it and makes it more of a discovery tool, which I think is resonating with a lot of people. So if you're not familiar with BranchOut, It might be worth looking at if you're looking to expand your network, which I know a lot of people who watch the show are, because you guys let us know all the time. Finally, Amber, to round out our Facebook coverage for the show, I don't know how much you may have noticed this, because I had sent a call out for people who follow me on my page to band together with me, because my mom had sent me a very worried message on Facebook last week saying, somebody tried to become my friend saying that they were you, and there are pictures of you in the profile, and there are pictures of dad and baby pictures and family stuff, and what is this all about?
So weird.
So weird. Yeah, so I went to the profile, and sure enough, they were definitely, I mean, they were my pictures taken down from Flickr and sometimes cropped to take other people out of the picture. I mean, where I know that the original picture maybe had somebody else in it. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what the point of that was, except maybe to just to keep down the number of people who might see themselves and complain, and just hopefully that I wouldn't see it. Well, obviously, it's very disconcerting when anything like that happens. And for the most part, and I would show you guys the page, but it has been taken down because I reported it for impersonation. But good. But you look at the info, and is there some sort of a spam link that they're directing me to? I could not figure out what the point of this was, except to just confuse people, or maybe just amass enough friends so that then you could start spamming them.
What I really don't understand, like, if you're going to impersonate someone and you're interested in any type of identity theft, or you're just being, you just want to do it for fun, I mean, the last person you should try to friend is someone's mom. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they eventually will figure out that's not actually you if they know your Facebook page. Like, it's like this belongs on, you know, they have those shows for stupid criminals where they do just silly things. It's like, this is definitely up there. It's a ridiculous way to get found. So I'm not sure what they were thinking when they did that.
I don't either. So what I wanted to tell you guys about this just because it's important to know how to report a page that is not being genuine. So what's interesting is that the page got taken down. This is actually the page, so it's still showing up because it's something that I searched for recently. But when you click on it, nothing happens. I mean, it's just a dead page. What's also interesting is that on my Facebook page, which of course is different from my profile, so this is my public page, anybody can see it, I had sent a note, basically as an update, saying, hey guys, here's the link to a fake account. Can you please do me a solid, go to the page and report it as impersonation? Well, yesterday I just decided, let's go and see what's the latest on this. Couldn't find the page, and my post was also gone. So I guess what Facebook does is they strip out references to pages that have become dead ends, which is good and bad, I guess, although I lost that whole conversation from the post that I had made. But let's just say that this has happened to you and you're not really sure what you do in a situation like this. So let's go to one of my other pages that doesn't mean a lot to me. That's so meta. This was something I just put together on a whim once. Let's say, okay, so, since it's one of my favorites, I guess I can't report it. How do you report? I'd have to go to, let's go back to Michael Jackson.
So, Sarah, how long did it take them to actually take the page down?
It took them about 3 days.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll zoom way in here. So you're on a page. Obviously, this is the official Michael Jackson page, so please don't report this page. This is just, I just want to show you guys how I had people reporting this page. There's a little report page that's down in the lower left-hand area. That's the same place that you like something or unlike something or share it. Once you say report, for my purposes, for my page, you would say spam or scam, submit. I just reported this page. Oh, God. I just reported the Michael Jackson fan page.
Sarah, what kind of freaking Michael Jackson fan are you?
I don't know. So perhaps they have special treatment because, they have however many millions of followers. Normally, at this point, there will be a dialogue box similar to the one that you saw pop up, and it's just sort of like, well, what's the problem? And there's this person is pretending to be somebody else. Okay, when you say okay, is it? Mm-hmm. And then it says and it's someone that you know, or is it you? So for my purposes, I said, yeah, it's me. And at that point, Facebook says, here's your little here's a little code. We're going to call you. What's your phone number? And it's an automated number. It's not like someone from Facebook is actually calling you. Mark Zuckerberg didn't call me. But you get an automated, hi, this is Facebook. Please enter your code. Just kind of to verify, yeah, I'm a real person. Here's the number associated with my account. And I'm really saying that this person is impersonating me. Okay. It was interesting. I had never done that before. So yeah, I thought I was a little bit disappointed that the page didn't come down right away, but I guess because there are so many reasons that someone might try to get another page taken down for their own disingenuous reasons, that they probably have to do a little bit of background checking. In any case, it did come down. It was very weird. Members of my family are still like, but why would anybody do that to you? And I said, so you know, strange. I just don't know. I have no idea what kind of scams are going on these days, especially within Facebook. But if that does happen to you, strength in numbers. You know, if you see something going on that you know isn't right, definitely help report it. How I always suggest people to do on Twitter. You know, if you see something that's clearly a spam account, report it. And, you know, that just helps the network become stronger. Amber, is that anything like that ever happened to you on Facebook or otherwise?
No, but I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want it to happen to me. So, yes, Sarah, it's happened a number of times. It's old news. Boring.
Okay, good. Okay. Very, very good. Very good.
Good answer.
All right. Well, this was, so I wanted to let you guys know that there's just some bad people out there. And, you know, all those Flickr photos that they took of mine, too, were copyrighted. So, I mean, I don't get it. But it
Sarah,
was easy enough to take down.
No one's trying to impersonate me. I'm still living in the world where I'm in the sneeze social network, you know, so that's I haven't quite graduated to full impersonations.
That's just, I mean, that's maybe weirder. there's a sneeze meme of podcasters. That's actually kind of cool.
It's like a weird fetish that someone has or something like that.
So exactly.
It's very strange, and it's a whole other world. Nonetheless, if you wanted to build a website for, I don't want to say for fetishes, but for pretty much anything, you know, your hobbies or, you know, even just for pictures or portfolio or Squarespace is definitely the best way to do it.
Yes, that's true. Squarespace, my gosh. Oh, Monday. Somebody kill me. Squarespace is our first sponsor on the Social Hour, and we love them because they make it fast and easy to publish a high-quality website or blog in mere minutes, and I'm not even exaggerating. Squarespace, if you're not familiar with it, go to squarespace.com, and you can either take the tour or just take a look at the examples page. And that gives you a very good snapshot of all the different ways that people are writing long blog posts or being able to set up virtual stores or photo galleries, forums, easy ways to get in contact with the author, and pretty much everything in between. Totally Rad Show is a great example. We talked about this briefly last week, where if you've got a podcast, you can just easily embed all of your episodes along with some blog posts in between and updates and things like that on your Squarespace blog. Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont use Squarespace for their Sword and Laser podcast, and it looks really nice. It's nice and simple, really. And we actually have a brand new offer for everybody who watches or listens to The Social Hour. If you go to squarespace.com, and once you go ahead and sign up, so there's a sign up button right here. Again, it's very easy, and you know, you pick your URL login, you got a password, you got an email address, you go ahead and say create your website. When it asks you to enter an offer code, if you enter socialhour6, you get a free trial and 30% off of your new account for 3 months, which is a really good discount for Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is very, very, very affordable in general. Well worth the money because they've got such good customer service. They make designing stuff easy, especially for people who do not feel very comfortable designing something that looks professional from scratch. Don't worry, I'm one of you. You're not alone. There's a variety of pricing models depending on what you're looking for. But free trial, so 14 days, you can just try out Squarespace, see if it's right for you. You don't even have to give them your credit card info or anything like that. And if you love them, your first 3 months, 30% off. Good.
Wow. So what was it? Social Hour and then the number 6?
Yes. So Social Hour 6, which is, it's different than last week's offer was a little bit different, but this is a whole new one because Squarespace is like, hey, Squarespace loves Twit, we love them, and we're trying out new ways to get people excited to create. Get creative. Put your wares out there, or your thoughts, or your poetry, or anything else. Squarespace.com, offer code SocialHour6. It kind of sounds like vigilante group or something.
It works though, Sarah. That's a great deal. Also, not so much in the website space, but more in the blogging space. This is kind of interesting. Tumblr has more blogs than WordPress. If I'm reading this number correctly, there are more than 20... Let's see. That's 20 million WordPress blogs. Is that right, Sarah? And as far as Tumblr, is it like 6 billion posts or something? I don't know. It just looks astronomical.
Yeah, it's I'm still trying to pull up the page here on our end. What we can take out of this is Tumblr, which is, it's kind of interesting because what I would say, I'm a Tumblr user. I love Tumblr, don't get me wrong. They do go down a lot. I've noticed that lately, and people like to grumble about Tumblr going down. I feel as though it's almost at the level that Twitter used to go down a lot, and people would mumble and grumble about it, but they stuck with it because it was Twitter, and it was just what we had. But Tumblr is having some growing pains because they're growing pretty big. Yeah, this was a Mashable article that I got this information from, although a lot of folks were talking about it. Yeah, 20 million and some change. I mean, going on 21 million. WordPress.com blogs, which of course is different than WordPress.org, which is it's two different services. WordPress.com is more of the
hosted version.
Exactly,
of it, right?
Exactly, yeah. The hosted version. Tumblr, they break things down a little bit differently, but we've got 6.5 million. Oh gosh, no, more
it's
than
billion.
That.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I had read this completely differently. I was thinking, oh yeah, the metrics are a little bit different. Many, many, many posts. Let's say more blogs. Not many more than WordPress, but we're nearing on 21, and they're if at the current rate, they'll probably get there sooner. And many posts. So what's interesting is that Tumblr and WordPress, in my opinion, are two different things because even though many people have learned how to use Tumblr as a as their main blog, it didn't really start out that way, did it? I mean, it was more of a microblogging service where it was easy to just quote something quickly, throw up a photo, much less emphasis on long-form blogging. Although that's changed now, I don't think that Tumblr and WordPress started out as competitors.
Yeah, you know, you're definitely right. And it looks like from the numbers, it's just kind of presented in a weird way. There's Tumblr has about 85,000 more blogs right now than WordPress.com. But Tumblr has been just rising, especially over the past year. They've been growing so much in popularity. I would argue, I don't know how you feel about it, Sarah, but it would just simply be almost ease of use. You know, how Tumblr did come in as a light blogging service. It made it so simple for anyone who didn't like blogging. And blogging is a pain for a lot of people to just go in and post a photo, some little quick bits of content. You're able to do it so easily from a phone as well, from your smartphone. And so they really, I think, surpassed WordPress.com with just the simplicity of getting something up and running.
Yeah, I agree. And I assume that having a site that goes up and down, the problem is that Tumblr, there's so much emphasis on the dashboard, which is, if I go to my, let's see if I'm logged into Tumblr since the last time I was at this computer. But if you go to your Tumblr account, no, I'm not logged in. But once you are and you actually are logged in behind the scenes, you can read anyone who you're following's latest posts without actually going to the permalink, I guess, of posts or even their website in general. So, you know, if I go to sarahlane.tumblr.com, if you and I were friends, you could just see everything behind the scenes in the dashboard rather than having to go to a bunch of individual websites, blogs of people. So I think that that's also what people like about Tumblr is that WordPress has a lot of that social, you can keep track of other WordPress bloggers, the community aspect, but it doesn't work as well as Tumblr has. But it's interesting. I think of WordPress as certainly one of the pioneers of blogging, to see something like Tumblr become not only a competitor, but something that surpasses it in terms of number of users. It's Tumblr is also really popular with a lot of publications. Newsweek is a has a prolific Tumblr blog, for example, and a variety of other magazines or newspapers that I've found on Tumblr and I've just decided to follow. So it's interesting how certain services just resonate with folks. A service that didn't resonate with folks, Amber, I know you know what I'm about to talk about, is little app that we talked about actually on our very first episode, and we had President Peter Pham on our second episode of The Social Hour, Color.
Yes. Color was that app that no one could figure out exactly what they did, but it fell into the category of photography apps. So you take pictures, but then you can kind of, there's this networking component with people who are nearby. Now, they initially made headlines because they got so much money, you know, literally millions and millions of dollars to start up a company. And now there's a lot of criticism because they really don't have that many users. They've kind of dropped as far as the buzz around them. And the app itself is just not a huge hit. However, as this article in the New York Times says, they criticize the fact that Color's now moved into, I guess they have offices that are, you know, twice as big as they actually need, you know, stories of them having sort of beanbag chairs and lots of places for people to lounge, and you just kind of get the impression that the company is, you know, not doing it as well as it should be doing. However, it's draining a lot of money from investors.
What's interesting, too, about this New York Times article, and a lot of people were talking about this morning, is that Peter Pham, we had heard, we talked about this briefly on Tech News Today last week, but we didn't know why, so we didn't say why he had left. But he had left the company. This New York Times article says that he was fired. And that surprised me because it somewhat seems out of nowhere to me. Now, he was the president. There was another co-founder who's still with the company, Bill Nguyen. And he kind of says, you know, it's a long article, so, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, we've got bigger plans for Color in the future. You know, maybe it won't even focus on photos so much. It might be more of a geolocation, deals, meet up with your friends type of a thing. And they're being somewhat vague about it. It's not clear what's going on. And I mean, if you go to, if I open up Color on my phone right now, so let's go to my overhead shot. I mean, the app is still live. It still works as I'm used to it working. I haven't used it in a long time because it's just not, it's not the app for me, and a lot of other people seem to have the same problem. But, you know, they did an interesting comparison in the New York Times article to Instagram and PicPlease, which are two very similar apps that any photo sharing service gets compared to, especially PicPlease, because Android users can't use Instagram yet. They started with low amounts of raised money. Color, for example, spent $350,000 just to buy the domain color.com. And then they spent $75,000 to buy Color, O-U-R, which would be the Canadian spelling. And so when you look at the two spending habits together, you think, oh my gosh, it seems reckless, doesn't it? The Color folks have their reasons, and so do their investment teams on why it's better to have more investment off the bat than not enough later if you want to grow. But I'm starting to feel like some of these models seem like if you don't do well and you've got a lot of money sort of sitting in there, then you start pivoting and then you start getting into trouble, because I have no idea where Color's brand is going to go from here. I mean, if it's not about photos, does Color even make sense as a name?
I don't know. I mean, this has been one of those apps that I just feel like it's a neat concept, but there's just so much money behind it, and it just doesn't have that sticky quality that it kind of needs. Sarah, I'm just going to jump ahead for a second because there is a site that, or service, that I think is going to be really sticky, and I'm just laughing because I went to their website and I saw a picture of us from our album art on the homepage.
Oh, really?
it was a little jarring, but awesome at the same time. So the service is called Bread, and I think you've used it to create what's called a toast, and I'm I'm hearing more about this really neat service that allows you to essentially create like a billboard for your link. So if you want to, you know, send someone somewhere on Twitter, you have kind of like this intermediate little billboard where people can go and they can, you know, you can put a little ad from promoting something that you do. And I guess a lot of celebrities are using it right now.
Yeah, the idea is... and again, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with celebrities. This is something that is very good for certain brands and not for everybody. What the concept of bread is, let's say that I share a link on Twitter. So I'm trying to reach as many people as possible. And I've got a lot of followers, and it's something that's very important to me. So I go ahead and shorten the link, and people click on it. And you know, if you use something like Bitly or a variety of short... URL shorteners, then you can track metrics and see how many people clicked on the link and so forth. Well, Bread takes it a step further. This is actually just one of their tutorial videos that they have up on their website, and they're using Lady Gaga as an example. So not only Bread is sort of it's a few things. It's a URL shortener and something that you can track metrics with. But what it will do is, let's say that Amber, right before your book Power Friending came out, you were trying to spread the word as much as possible. It was important that people knew what the book was, where they could get it, how they could spread the word. Well, if you had mocked up a quick page that said, buy my book now, here's the link in Amazon, it's called Power Friending, you've got maybe the cover of the book. If you add, if you make a Bread link about your book, what happens is that anyone who clicks on one of your shortened links that went through Bread sees that page for 5 seconds before they are redirected to the link that you were originally sending. So it's almost a way to go about all of your business as you normally would, but you've got this interstitial ad of sorts that people will see for 5 seconds before they're directed to that funny cat video that you were sharing on Twitter anyway. Now, of course, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like it. I mean, I think it's an interesting concept, but I think I'm curious what the reaction is going to be as more and more people start using. You know, I put my marketing hat on and I think, wow, this is a great idea. You know, why not take advantage of those few seconds when something's loading up and the opportunity when you're, you know, sharing all of these other links? I wonder if people will get irritated with it. What's your sense of that?
My sense is that they will. It's called the toast that I made, Amber, that you saw, that you were probably like, what in the world is this? So this is what I made with Bread, and this is how you have to put it together. It's they don't give you many options. So you have to have a billboard that's at these measurements, and that's why our billboard looks so terrible, because I took it from our album art and I basically just cut off our eyes. So this is the album art of our Social Hour actually page at twit.tv. But let's say that I had put together something that, you know, that was the right measurement, so that would look nice. And here's a nice little visit site option. So I had it set to twit.tv/TSH. And then there's a little note here where I say, The Social Hour on Twit, live Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern. And here's the URL again. So this would be, now this is a terrible example because I put it together in 30 seconds. But if I put a little thought into it, this would be that interstitial page that people would see anytime I wanted to share a link through Bread and give people a 5-second peek into, you know, whatever project I want to promote at the time. It would be nice if people weren't annoyed by this, but I think people would be. I think they'd get really sick of it once they see me do it 2 or 3 times. Gosh, Sarah, you know, she's always promoting the show, and you know, you click a link, you want, you know, the page to load as quickly as possible. And we're all used to ads, you know, counting down your movie will start in 15 seconds or that sort of thing. This doesn't even have a countdown, and I think that they just don't bother adding one because it's only 5 seconds. But I think that's also confusing because you're like, what? Where am I? This is not what I thought I was clicking on. And then it redirects you. But what if after 4 seconds, you're off doing the next thing?
I think it's one of these services, I think we have to kind of watch it evolve a little bit. You know, like, it seems like based on user feedback, hopefully they just sort of modify and change as time goes on based on how the audience responds to what they're doing. Because I think the concept is kind of neat. So it's just a matter of how willing people are to, you know, be able to sit there and kind of wait till the link actually loads up. So we'll see. It's one to watch, Sarah. We should have a one to watch rundown.
This is definitely a one to watch. I agree with you there. We're on to you, Bread.
I know. No, it sounds kind of cool. Actually, I think they offered to come on the show, so maybe we can coerce them to come on at some point.
Absolutely.
And chat with us a little bit more about this. Sarah, you know, I have a really important conference call to do, so I don't know how we want to, because it's 3 o'clock my time now.
It is 3 o'clock your time. No. You know what, Amber? I think I could probably, because we're getting into viewer feedback now.
Yeah.
So let's just, we'll, you know, you'll sign off. I'll amble through the rest of the show. And I'll make voices for you, you know,
okay.
So it's as if we're still having a conversation. And yeah, no, I understand. We started late, so these things happen.
And Sarah, I agree with everything you're going to say for the rest of the show. Okay?
Thank you, Amber. So I really appreciate your support.
You have my full commitment to, you know, to say everything is, you know, rad, fad, whatever you want to do. And I will be on the show next week, and I won't have to run away sharp at 3 o'clock.
Sounds good, Amber.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah.
All right. See you soon. All right, everybody. You don't even need to worry about anything because the show must go on. And first, we're going to thank Audible for letting the show go on. They're one of our sponsors. We love Audible.com. If you're not familiar with audiobooks, what the heck is keeping you back, people? Audiobooks are the best way to keep up on fiction, nonfiction. If you use Audible, even periodicals, you can, you know, listen to some of your favorite authors of newspaper articles and their editorial pieces being read to you. Amber and I have talked about Audible in the past, but it's really good for people on the go, people like us who don't always have time to sit down and read a book for 3 hours on a Sunday. And how the heck are you going to get through books otherwise? Well, think of all the times that you're stuck in traffic, or you're at the gym, or maybe you're making dinner, you know, and you can crank up the audio and through your iPad or a variety of ways. Audible is the best way to keep up on your reading while also giving your eyes a break and have your stories read to you. For example, Tom Clancy, Against All Enemies. This is new and notable. Everybody likes a good mystery novel, right? We actually can't listen to a sample because we've got this analog audio mixer right now, which you can't see, but I assure you it is here. It's like the old days of Twit all over again because we're in the transition of moving over to our new studio. So we can't actually listen to an audio sample, but you've heard some of our audio samples in the past. They're really cool. Depending on who reads the book, sometimes it's the author themselves. We noted that Tina Fey reads her own book, which is really the only way to read Bossy Pants, right? Betty White also narrates her own book. I actually went ahead and bought this because not only do I think Betty White is one great American legend, but I love the sound of her voice, and she's so good at doing straight-faced comedy. This is Betty White's book, If You Ask Me, narrated by Betty White. Regular price, $18.17. But there's a special offer on Audible. How to get it for $7.49. What a steal. Who doesn't want to listen to Betty White while they're at the gym? It's a match made in heaven, people. All right, so we have a special offer for anybody who's listening to The Social Hour or watching The Social Hour and wants to give Audible a try. Audiblepodcast.com/social hour is the URL to go to. And, oops, this is Netflix. Oh, we don't have our copy in the book today. That's okay. I'll just wing it. Audiblepodcast.com/social hour. And you know what you get when you do that? You get a free audiobook. You get If You Ask Me by Betty White completely free just because we like you and Audible likes us and we want to make them happy. Audiblepodcast.com/social hour is the way to get your free book. And if you're already familiar with Audible, you already know it's awesome. And it's the sort of thing where once you listen to one audiobook, you go, gosh, I should have done this a long time ago. Tell a friend. Send our link to someone else so they can try out Audible, get a free book, and then if they like the service, they can be loyal members like the rest of us. Thanks so much to Audible for sponsoring this portion of The Social Hour, and we'll move right along. Right, Amber? Right, Sarah? Okay. What are we going to talk about next? Ah, yes, we're going to get into some viewer feedback. We got an email from Andrew Cross. So this is interesting. Last week, and I think this was our Rad or Fad segment, Amber brought this to the table. It was called Scene Tap, and it was a not yet launched app service. It was launching in July, I believe, that was going to be able to tell you if a bar was crowded or empty or what the scene was like so that you could decide if you wanted to walk down to the corner or get a cab across town or so on and so forth. So just get a sense of if it looked like the kind of scene you wanted to be part of before you get there, because everyone knows if you're, you know, your favorite bar or restaurant is really crowded, there's a line, or your friends aren't there, some sort of thing, that can all influence how much you want to go. And we, the article that we had pulled this information from, kind of made it sound like it was a webcam that was going to be part of an app where you could just kind of look in on your bar of choice. And the people who make SceneTap, a couple people, one of the guys who said that he helped build it but is now no longer affiliated with the company, I think he's just an investor, and then someone who I think must be part of their PR team, he didn't say, but he knows a lot about the service. They both wrote in and said, thank you for mentioning SceneTap. We do want to clarify a few points, though. SceneTap doesn't live stream from bars. That's, you know, there's privacy issues when you get into that sort of thing. When SceneTap launches in July, it'll be available for iPhone, Android, and the web. So that's, you know, that covers a lot of folks. Users will receive real-time updates on the crowd at their favorite bar. Male-female ratio, for example, average age, number of people that they can access specials and then engage in the app social player. This data is collected from cameras, but not live cams, cameras that use facial detection technology to automatically update the app's data. It's a closed feed, however. Users don't have access. So, okay, and then they sent me to a ReadWrite web article that did explain it very well. They also said that Cole Harper, who is SceneTap's founder and CEO, would love to join us on a future episode. We would love to have you, Cole. I'll get in touch with you after the show's over. It would be great for you to explain this app, especially once it launches in July. So July might be a really good time for us to have a deeper discussion. But for now, this is even more interesting than I thought it was at first. I thought, oh, that's a neat concept. Facial recognition technology that is scanning a bar and making assumptions based on what it's picking up from people's faces. And I guess they're, how tall they are, to say whether they're male or female, whether they're skewing young or older, and then of course just how many numbers of heads there are. Well, call me crazy, but I feel like there are some issues that would come up. What if someone is of average height with a very short haircut and wearing somewhat androgynous clothing, male or female? I don't know. I mean, I see people from the back all the time, and I don't know if they're male or female until they turn out. You know, that sort of thing could be a little bit complicated, certainly in certain cities that may have more, well, you see where I'm going. I mean, in San Francisco, I can see there being perhaps a little bit of confusion and perhaps some people getting a little bit bristly about the way that it is categorizing them, let's say. The concept is very cool, and it's even sort of facially recognition weirder than we thought it was initially. So Andrew Cross is the one who ended up writing that email that I just read. Thank you for the clarification. We'd love to talk to you guys more about it, more about the implications and how you want to make it as accurate as possible. So we also got an email from Doug, who wants to spread the word about his business, but he doesn't know where to start. And I really wish Amber was here because she always has really good advice for people, but I will do my best. So let's listen to Doug's voicemail.
Hi, Sarah and Amber. My name is Doug Hanna, and I'm calling from Maryland. Now, I'm a filmmaker, and I'm trying to use social media to expand the audience of my films. But I find that because I don't have an established following, the social media really isn't getting me anywhere. So how do I bring people to my social media to then use it as a marketing tool to actually grow my audience? Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Doug. Somebody in the chat room said it sounded like Chris Perillo. It does have a little bit of a Chris Perillo sound. I know it's you, Doug, from Maryland. But okay, so this is, it's the age-old question, isn't it? I've got something cool. He's a filmmaker, so he has films to promote. Probably events, maybe live screenings, that sort of thing. And he wants to use social media to get the word out, but he doesn't know how to get people to be following the various avenues of social media in order to get the word out. So this is where social media only works when you have your community active in social media. So let's say, Doug, that you've got a screening happening next Wednesday for, you know, maybe it's a preview of your new film or something like that. You must have people that in real life are aware of your work and they support you. So you kind of almost want to go backwards. And instead of getting the word out over social media to get more people to watch your films and know about what you're doing, the people who already do, you want them to be able to promote what you're doing online to get the word out that way. And it's really, when you're starting from scratch, and I assume because you called about this, that let's just say that you're starting from scratch. You know, you really don't have any followers on Facebook page, for example. That's really where you have to lean on the company of your IRL friends, your real life community, because that's how things get spread virally initially. So let's say you've got a screening next week. Maybe send out, you know, do you send out like email blasts to people who are in your community, you know, including your family, that sort of thing? I mean, this is not the time to be like too proud to bother people. I actually just had a friend, this is a good example, just had a friend who's very active online. So it's not as if she's a noob, but she has a new project where she's actually getting into the video space. She's an artist. At willowtunes.com actually is her website, and she's been in the business a long time, but she's never actually done a regular video series. And she sent out a long email. She BCC'd everybody, so it wasn't like this email where we all saw each other's names, but just sort of said, "Hey, people, I trust you. I know that, you know, you've supported me in the past. I'm doing something new. I really need your help in order to get the word out. Even if you just like me on Facebook, like this page on Facebook," and she provided nice links. That is something that will show up in my on my profile and other people's news feeds. So people that I'm friends with that she isn't friends with are that much more likely to just check her out of curiosity. You can embed my first video. It was like almost like a trailer for her series on your website, or just link to it on Twitter. She kind of said pretty much anything you can do to help me, I really appreciate. And you know, it was not an annoying email. It was heartfelt, and her friends want to support her. So, Doug, I feel like, assuming that you've got, you know, some good people who want to see you succeed, that's the way to get the word out initially. Because social media is useless if you're talking to nobody. I mean, if you've got 3 followers on Twitter, you know, you might start to feel like it, you know, you're talking to a brick wall, really. But if you've got your real friends who are saying on Twitter, hey, you know, however many friends that they have, there's this really cool event happening in Pittsburgh next week. We're going to do the screening of, you know, Doug's new movie. Or you said you're from Maryland, in Baltimore, for example. You should check it out. Come, you know, pass out some flyers. Make sure that people are able to find you easily on Twitter, on Facebook. Definitely have those links on all of your websites. Some of the stuff I feel like is sounds really, really obvious, but I don't know that it's obvious to everybody. You want to make sure that no one has a question about where to find you online, you know, and walk that fine line between being giving out good information and being a pest, right? Because there is a line, and we all know what it's like when someone is on the pest side of it. You start to tune out. So best of luck to you, Doug. And by the way, if you would have sent us a link or something, I know on a voicemail you can't do that very well, but if you want to send us a link to, you know, some of the projects you're working on, I'd love to look at it and spread the word for you. We also got an email from Roz. She's an acting coach in New York. And she had some questions about social media experts and what their story is.
Hello, Sarah. Hello, Amber. I love
Hi,
the
Roz.
Show. My name is Roz Coleman. I have a small business, which is an acting coach. It's called Roz Acting Coach. And I want to hire a social media expert. Everyone tells me they're a social media expert and I should pay them about $400 a month to increase my business. How do I know if someone is a real social media expert and if they're actually going to produce the results? Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Roz. Roz, you have beautiful teeth. I'm always noticing when people have beautiful teeth, and yours are beautiful. All right, so Roz's question, it'll strike a chord with a lot of people who think that the job title social media expert is a sham. Because a lot of people call themselves social media experts, and it can be associated with people who are kind of spammy. You know, they fall on that pest side of this whole thing. Now, that doesn't mean, and you know, there was an article that I read recently. Gosh, I want to say Business Insider, but I'm not sure. That was, I mean, it pretty much just tore apart any company who hired a social media expert because it meant that they were throwing their money away, and real marketers don't call themselves social media experts, and it's just a bunch of baloney. And I read that and I thought, well, I'm sure that happens sometimes, but I really think that's unfair to say that anybody who works for a company in order to get the word out and be a social media expert is a phony or somehow doesn't know what they're doing. I think that many people are very good at their jobs. We don't actually have somebody here at TWiT that's doing that for us full time, but I think that with the right person, we would benefit greatly from that sort of thing. I know Revision 3, where I used to work, they've got people who spend all of their time getting the word out in forums, on Facebook, on Twitter. I mean, that's all of that stuff is, you know, it's hard to do full time. We've got Eileen tweeting out as much as she can, but again, it can work. So what Roz is asking, it sounds like something that's a lot more of just light, get the word out, maybe link to things here and there a couple times. She's an acting coach, so she's probably trying to make sure that people know that she's out there and that, you know, what her services are. I've never actually heard anybody quote part-time social media work. She quoted $400 a month, and originally I went, well, that doesn't sound like that much, because of course, you know, on a salary level, working for $400 a month is pretty low, especially if you want to live in New York City. Although, I guess if you're a social media expert, you could live anywhere. But then I got to thinking, $400 a month for something that, if she's, you know, an independent person, you know, if she's kind of just working for herself and spreading the word, that sounds like a lot for something that she could do herself. So I think that in chat room, I want to poll you guys to see what your initial thoughts are on this. I think that if for some reason the internet, you know, if you're an acting coach and you are amazing at what you do and you do not want to learn social media tools, Roz is using SocialCam, which is an app. So I have to assume that she's not totally clueless about this stuff. But either you're not interested or you don't have the time, or you just, you know, it's not fun for you, that sort of thing. You know, that all has to be taken into consideration, because time is money. And if you can pay someone $400 a month and you've got that kind of coin and they end up doing well for you, then it's worth it. So I guess, WebEx is saying too much. Willivon is saying that's a lot. Wayne and Akron. Akron. Sorry. Hi, Wayne. Wow, I haven't seen you in a while. Paying $400 a month, he says, to someone to do that for you for a small biz, that's wasteful. So I think that it all depends on what you want to get out of the social media experience. If a social media expert is bringing in a certain amount of clients for you and your business grows by $700 a month and you pay them $400, is that $300 profit for you worth it? I don't know. Maybe it is. I mean, maybe getting the word out is your number one priority. I can't say that that's too much or not enough, because I think it just completely varies. But for someone to sort of say like, hey, it's the going rate, I think at that point you want to see how they've proven themselves, what makes them an expert, what other companies or independent people have they worked with in the past. And if they don't have good examples of that, you know, what else makes you trust them? Do they have personal Twitter accounts or Facebook pages? Do you like the way that they present themselves? That all is kind of that judge of character, just the, you know, in the way that you would hire anybody else. And especially online, it's important to know anybody who's representing your company will be looked up by someone else who wants to know more about who you've employed. So it's all kind of reflective on you in the end. So whether it's worth your money or worth your time, or it's the right person, is all just stuff that you need to take into consideration. Roz, thank you for sending us that SocialCam video. And by the way, Amber and I are always saying, email us, thesocialhour@twit.tv is our email address. Voicemail, 2626-SOCIAL is our phone number. Thanks to the guy in Ontario who sent us a voicemail this week just to say, yeah, your voicemail works. Thank you. We're very glad. And you can send us a video like Roz did. This is my favorite because I get to see you guys and tell you how nice your teeth are. Social cam is a really good alternative to YouTube or Vimeo or all the other ways that you can upload a video. Just make sure that when you do upload the video, upload it somewhere where you can send us the URL so we can just open it up in our browser, because we don't want to open up attachments. It just keeps things easier for us. And if you send a voicemail or a video, try to keep it down to about 30 seconds. That makes it just easier for us to roll into the show and keep the flow kind of going down. All right, before we get to Rad or Fad without Amber, this is actually my Rad or Fad, so maybe it kind of worked out better than it normally would this week. We want to take a moment to thank Netflix, because they are our third and certainly not our least sponsor. Netflix.com is the address you go to. Go to Netflix.com/twit. Guess what you get? Oh, yeah. We're all about giving people free stuff. 1 month free trial of Netflix. So if you're already a Netflix user, you already know how awesome Netflix is. But if you're not, it's a proof of concept thing. Get your 30 days. Watch as many movies as you can. Have a marathon. Barely sleep, barely eat, barely get up and go to the bathroom. Get through as many movies as possible. And TV shows, too. Hey, if you never watched Buffy, the series, that'll take you a couple weekends, won't it? You can browse the selection. Just get a sense for what Netflix offers. What's really interesting about Netflix is all of the different ways that you can watch Netflix movies, TV shows, and so on. On your Mac or your PC, on your iPad. I love the iPad app. You can watch on your iPhone, some Android phones too. Not all of them, but they're ramping up. Gaming consoles, Xbox 360, PS3, for example, Nintendo Wii. Some of the newer TVs are Netflix enabled. My TV is one of them. I also can watch Netflix through my Roku, which works out really nicely. And if you're already familiar with Netflix, you know that there are a couple of different ways that you can subscribe. You can get DVDs sent to you in the mail, in the physical mail. So you go to your mailbox, and there's that neat little red package, and there's a DVD in it, and you watch it, and you go, cool, that was fun, and then you send it back, and then they send you a new DVD, and you can manage your queue online. So you just make a big list of stuff that you want to consume, and it comes to you. Or, and Leo and I both agree on this, you can watch instant streaming movies, which is, I mean, just makes it even that much easier. The instant streaming queue, or the instant streaming list, which we're actually looking at now, is getting bigger by the day. You can take a look at everything that they have to offer. Why Did I Get Married 2, for example? It's a Tyler Perry movie. I've never seen it. 3.7 is the member average. You can get a good idea of what people like and don't like and what's getting buzz and what you want to instantly stream. And Anywhere But Here, I liked that movie. Natalie Portman in some of her younger days. What's also cool, and this is the big selling point. This is the big selling point, because I don't think a lot of people know that, let's say you're at home and you're watching Anywhere But Here with Natalie Portman and Susan Sarandon, and you're like, oh, this is really good, but I've got to go pick up my car. They're going to close at 5. I have to leave right now. You go ahead and pause that movie. You pick up your iPhone or your iPad, maybe. And you can, not while you're driving, or while you're getting to the auto parts store, but when you're in transit, or for whatever reason, not at your living room, home base, watching arena, you can finish the rest of the movie. So it's cross-device, the account, which comes in really handy, especially, you know, in the same way that Audible is. If you're a person on the go, you just don't necessarily have time to sit down and watch movies all day. You know, sitting on the couch for an entire day doesn't happen in my life very often, but having an hour or even half an hour here or there to get through content that I really like is great. Sitting at the doctor's office, doctor's running late, you're watching a Netflix movie, you don't even care. In fact, you hope the doctor is even later than they originally are. So we want to thank Netflix so much for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Again, that's netflix.com/twit for your free 30 days of service. And if you're already a Netflix user, tell a friend. This is something that they should know about as well. The more people who know about it, the more happy people there are in the world. And let's get into our Rad or Fad segment. This is an app that is not brand new, but probably new to many of you. And I'm going to go ahead and not show you me opening up my phone with a password. But it is called, let's get out of color here. We're done with color, at least for this show. It's called With. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and open up With. And give you a sense of what's going on here, because It is created by the same people who are behind the app Path, but it works very differently, almost the opposite. Now, as you can you might recall, that Path was the opposite of the social network where you want to get as many friends and followers as possible. This is the one where you can only choose 50. Only 50 people get to get your, you know, your where you are, who you're with, a picture. They have some nice Instagram-esque filters, that sort of thing. But it's a closed network. So the idea is that people who aren't interested in showing their baby photos to the world, that makes them feel uncomfortable. They don't get anything out of it. But maybe they want to create a network within Path with close family and friends, feel good about sharing a lot of photos with a small number of people that they trust. So it's kind of the antithesis of the more is better when you're reaching the internet. Because let's face it, not everybody feels that way. In fact, some people feel very uncomfortable doing that. So that's a service that Path provides. Well, some people are into Path, some people are not. I don't use Path that much because I've spent so many years getting used to the internet being this big pond that I'm just a little small fish in, and I'm sharing with everybody. So With is kind of a side project of theirs that works very differently. So if I'm going to go ahead, this is my stream, by the way, and this is, I just logged in on Twitter, so these are, you know, a lot of Twitter friends that I have that are telling me pretty much who they're with, and you say, well, that sounds really boring. I mean, what's the point of that? Well, the point of it is that it's an easy way to blast out, hey, I'm with these four people. Here's, I'll click on one of my friends' links. This is from a party on Saturday that I wasn't able to go to, but I got a little snapshot of Danny Trin, who's my friend here, who sent out this with update, who had tagged a bunch of people from Twitter in this tag update, and then took a picture. Okay, so if I want to go, let's say I'm going to say, okay, I'll make my own with. I am with, oh my God, Chad, which with pulls up right away because he's already in my Twitter friends. We're friends on Twitter, so I'll just say, okay, I'm here. And I just, I won't send out an email. Or I'm sorry, I won't send out a picture because he's not actually in the room with me. I say next. Okay. At this point, you can take a picture if you want. You know, and go, you know, front camera, back camera kind of thing. Or you can go ahead and skip, or you can pull from your photo library. Go ahead and skip. Okay, so this is where it gets important, because a lot of people who are using With do not realize that you can toggle on and off sending this update to Twitter. So here's a little Twitter bird in the upper left-hand corner. And there you go. So I've toggled it on, then this will be sent to Twitter, okay? And then if I toggle it off, it will not be sent to Twitter. Now, I have no problem telling my With friends that I'm with Chad, because if you're using With, then you're obviously interested in who other people are with, right? So I'll go ahead and say done. And it will add it to, you know, anybody who's following me. This is their stream. So go ahead and open that up. I'm with Chad Johnson. Here we are. Isn't that interesting? Well, this is all fine and good. Well, what's happening is, a lot of people do not realize that you can toggle on that Twitter button, toggle on and off. In fact, a lot of people who use With all the time. So every time they say, I'm with Chad Johnson, that's being sent to Twitter with a With link that sends you to a page that gives you no other information that you didn't already get from Twitter. So that's actually that's why I think the service is bordering on rad, but feels more fad because it starts to sound echoey and boring. And too many people are overusing something like this where, hey, if I'm with Chad and there's a really funny picture, you know, he's making a really funny face, sure, I might send that to Twitter and I might send it through the With app. But if I'm not adding a photo, I've truly offered nothing that I couldn't have just said in a tweet. I could have just tweeted with, oh my God, Chad, we're having a great time. And that would have been the tweet. So I'm going to say, if I have to choose between rad or fad, I'm going to say rad-ish. But the potential to be fad. I don't know if I'm allowed to say rad-ish because I'm kind of cheating. But I don't hate the idea. I just wonder, and of course, you know, I could get into the whole, oh, this marketplace is so saturated already, who needs another app like this? I won't get into that because it just depends on who you are. You know, I think that people use whatever apps that they want to use, and if it's working for them, great. The problem is that the rest of us, and especially people who don't have iPhones, who are seen with links in their Twitter feed all day long, and some of them don't have pictures, and you just go, what in the world is up with this? And I'm looking at the chat room, and yeah, radish, like the food. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a delicious radish that I hope doesn't spoil and become a fad. So that's With. In the App Store, it's W-I-T-H, although the actual icon is W slash, you know, like the way to write With quickly when you're typing it out. All right, so that is our Radder Fad. If you guys have suggestions about something to put onto the scale to go Radder Fad, please send them to thesocialhour@twit.tv. And if you have thoughts on With, please send those as well. And, of course, any questions, comments, feedback is always appreciated. We want the show to be a collective effort because this is the Social Hour after all. You can also send us anytime you just want to tweet Amber or me or both of us. Please do. We're happy to take any of our conversations from Twitter and add them into the show. If you want to hashtag the Social Hour, that could be helpful. But we'll see it otherwise. That's it for this episode of the Social Hour. We're very sorry that Amber had to bow out mid-show. For anybody who's catching the show now, she was at the beginning of the show. And as someone noted in the chat room earlier, it is episode 13. And we had quite a few technical issues, but that's because this is episode 13. And it's Jason Voorhees' law that things have to go wrong when you're on episode 13. So we're just staying in step with the way it goes. And thanks for hanging in there with us because, again, our studio is sort of half here and half not as we make the transition over to our new studio. We're very excited about that. There will be a few bumps in the road. And for anybody who's watching this live, you got to see just how things go on behind the scenes, man. That's good stuff. And for anybody who's watching it later, I'll have taken out a lot of the problems that we had on the show. So you're none the wiser. It's all good. Thanks to everybody who contributed to the show. And we will see you next Monday live at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern, for an episode of The Social Hour. And remember, twit.tv/TSH is our show page. All of our archived episodes, easy ways to subscribe, watch or listen to the video or audio live from the page. That's all there for you. We want you to consume the show however is best for you. As long as you like it, we'll keep doing it. See you next week.